This is the Dog Days Podcast from UGASports.com. I'm your host, Dane Young. This is the podcast where we chat with former Georgia Bulldogs about their eras in Athens. On this episode, we have Tay Crowder, former inside linebacker for Georgia from 2015 through 2019. He gives some great insight on how he had the perseverance to stick with Georgia, even though he didn't play his first year or two. He had the great play against Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl to get the squibbed kick down, allowing for Rodrigo Blankenship to kick a field goal going into halftime. He gets into that, as well as what he is doing now. I will tell you, this episode was recorded before the national coronavirus scare, so you'll hear him reference being ready for Pro Day in March, and obviously that's not happening right now. So that reference is there. Here he is, Tay Crowder. All right, Tay Crowder joining us here on the Dog Days Podcast. And Tay, I know fans would probably want to know what you're up to. We know it's NFL draft preparations, but where you're at, what you're working on, and what your goals are right now.
So I'm just working out every day, you know, just trying to eat good and just get 1% better every day. I was in Texas for 2 months, in Frisco, Texas, working out at Exos. And I got back in Athens in March, so just, you know, waiting on a big day on the 18th.
When you have that pro day coming up, what are you trying to accomplish during that?
I just want to go out and, you know, work hard. You know, just try to kill it, do everything at my at the highest potential I can. So I'm just looking forward to it and just ready to go out and have fun with it.
Man, you get out with your teammates a little bit. Do you miss your guys?
Oh, yeah. Especially that too, that part about it, I get to go out and work with them and get to see them before and afterwards, so that'll be pretty cool.
So I covered you a little bit in your Harris County days. I kind of want you to take our audience back to Tay Crowder growing up in Hamilton and what you were like as a kid and when you first realized that you love sports.
So I got to give a big shout out to my mom because, I mean, she's been there since it first started. It first started, I was, 4 years old. I was playing with, like, the 5 and 6 years old flag football. And just growing up, I was a three-sport kid. Played baseball, basketball, and football. And I just loved it. From, I guess I can say, when I first started, I was 4 years old. I stayed at it. I never knew which one was my best sport. But as I kept growing, I was better at baseball. So I would say baseball was my best sport growing up. But I just fell in love with football in high school and stuff like that because I was starting to get offers and stuff. And it just kind of stuck with me.
And you Harris County guys, I know you're tight-knit. What did you learn kind of through the whole process of recruiting or anything? Because Jordan Jenkins was a few years ahead of you.
Right.
And so I know you're still tight with Jordan a little bit. What did you learn from him through his process?
He was always willing to work. And whatever we had, the questions, anything, if you wanted to get some extra work in, he was always there. He just kind of took everything in. And, you know, like I said, he's always worked hard in high school and college and stuff like that. So just try to follow in his steps in different ways of how to talk to coaches and just how to go along with the whole college experience.
I can't remember if it was your sophomore or junior year of high school, but I went to a practice at Harris County and I was talking with your coach at the time, Tommy Parks, and the first thing he said is, "I've got a quarterback and he's going somewhere." And he was talking about Taquan Marshall, who's one of your good buddies that you got to play against when he was at Georgia Tech. But
right.
then he also mentioned you, and it seemed like around that time and maybe even through college, coaches didn't know quite what to do with you because you were a great athlete, but they didn't know if you were a tight end or a running back or where you were supposed to be. How did you handle that?
I just kept on... I mean, through summer workouts, high school and stuff like that, I just worked hard. And I don't know, each year it's like I was just playing another position. I mean, like, whatever they needed me best at, I would always maybe be at receiver, primary, and then get reps at running back or quarterback. And then same way with, like, tight end and stuff like that. I would play, if they needed me at tight end, I would play at tight end, but still get reps at running back. So it just kind of went in a way like that. And it was kind of, it was really fun, though. Just, I can say that definitely helped me to be able to play different spots.
Were you and Taquan competitive at all, like trying to play the same position?
Yeah, we were always competing, trying to see who was the fastest and stuff like that all the time. So,
were you faster than him?
Yeah, he was always a little bit faster than me. He was also lighter than me too. So, but I always tried to just compete with him because I mean, iron sharpens iron, and it definitely made both of us better. So.
Man, I know the first time that I saw you hit him, you're playing for Georgia and he's playing for Georgia Tech. I just was imagining what words were being said at that point, because I know you guys had to talk trash to each other in that game specifically.
Oh, yeah, we definitely did. It was definitely just a fun experience, and it was also just – it was a blessing. Like, it was always times I would think about, you know, playing against him. But the time playing against them and actually getting to be on the other side of the ball, that was crazy.
Let's go back to your recruiting a little bit because, man, up until, I guess, a week before signing day, you were committed to Georgia Southern, correct?
Right.
And so who was your recruiter at Georgia Southern?
Coach Dale McGee.
Yep, that's what I thought it was, but I wanted to be sure. So that's an interesting relationship because he coached high school in Columbus in the area, so you might have known him from some of that.
Most definitely.
Because it seemed like Dale McGee knew everyone in that side of the state, and then he makes the flip to college, and he went to Auburn as an off-the-field assistant, then gets to Georgia Southern, and then he gets you there. Was he excited to bring you on as a running back at Georgia Southern? Was that kind of the conversation at the time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he treated me with so much respect, and me and my family, and it was just like a home relationship, because I mean, he's from Columbus, I'm from the same area, and it just worked out perfectly. He was always willing to come see me practice and stuff like that, so I had all the respect for Coach McGee, and I just I liked him as a person.
And we didn't know what was going to happen at Georgia Southern at the time because it was Mark Richt's staff that recruited you to Georgia. Tell me what happened. I want to believe it was the Saturday or Sunday night before signing day that conversation kind of begins to churn. From your perspective, take me back there and how your recruiting flipped so quickly.
So I was committed to Georgia Southern, but I was in the spot where I wanted it. Actually go to Kentucky.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I always wanted to go to Georgia. Did not think I was going to get the offer. So I think I was going to last minute flip to Kentucky and not go to Georgia Southern. But, I mean, it was a day two days before signing day or a day before signing day. I can't really remember, but you know, I got that call from Coach Rick, and he was just like, he introduced himself, stuff like that. And he was just like, you know, we got a spot for you, and we're willing to give you the scholarship if you're ready to make that decision. And it was just like a dream come true for me. I mean, I really, I was lost for words. So it was like 2 weeks before that, prior, people were like, well, my coaches and stuff were like, I think you can get this offer. Like, we've been talking to him and stuff like that. And I mean, it was just crazy how the whole thing worked out.
So you had a hint that it might happen, but it's not official until you get that phone call.
Yeah, I never thought it was going to happen. But I mean, it actually did. I actually did get a phone call, and it was just like I said, like a dream come true.
at your signing day, I was there, and I saw you, the smile on your face, and you put on that Georgia hat. And, man, you could not wipe that smile off your face. It was crazy. And we kind of saw the Georgia Tech and Georgia thing with you and Taquan at that time. Did you grow up a Georgia fan? Is that why that moment was so almost surreal?
Yeah, like just like all Georgia teams, I like them, like the Atlanta Hawks, you know, the Falcons, the Georgia, you know, the Dogs. It was a thing like that with me and kind of with my family a little bit. But especially me, I just always wanted to stay home and, like, put on for the state, you know, just because it's me being from Georgia. Like, I always wanted to get that moment.
And that means your mom's probably a Georgia fan too, right?
Oh yeah, she loves Georgia. So my brother went to Auburn though, so we had a few years that we really liked Auburn, and we like 45 minutes away from Auburn, so that was really convenient for my family.
And there was another person in your childhood. You have a tattoo that says LLB, right? Tell me about that, because I read about what that meant to you and how that still motivates you.
Yeah, so my brother, Cortez Johnson. We grew up together. We met in elementary school in like fourth grade. Knew each other since then, and we competed just like me and Taquan, the one who went to Georgia Tech. We competed on and off the field. Small games, whatever it was, we competed. We hung out together all the time. So it was just my everyday guy, and it was me and other people. But he was definitely one of those guys, man. My senior year in high school, I had to force him to play that last year. That's one of the moments that really stuck with me, because he really didn't want to play that last year, but I had to force him, and he actually played, and he helped the team a lot. And I was just so proud of him, because I knew he deep down, he did not want to play his last year, but it's kind of like he did it for me, and he was, whatever I did, like my senior year was my best year, I would say, in high school. And he was right there with me every time. He was happy for me, celebrating with me every time, every play. And those moments definitely stick with me today.
And then what happened?
2017, he was in an accident on a dirt bike. And he passed away, and he didn't live through that accident. So that's kind of what happened.
Do you still kind of play for him and his memory? How does that stick with you?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like, I got the tat right on my neck. Just because I feel like when people see me, they see him. And it's like he's still with me every day. So definitely, I definitely still play the sports, and just everything I do it for him.
Those are the stories I like to make sure get told, because everyone sees the roster of players at Georgia, but they don't understand who all comes with that and the families that you guys have and the communities you have, because there was a very similar story with Jason Stanley, where one of his best friends from high school, he had an accident on the field. Yvette Stanley told us about it on this podcast. And man, you guys just, it's such a bond that's created through sports and through your childhood. Yeah. And so,
and that's actually crazy that that same year that happened with Jason's friend, we played them in the third round of the playoffs.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yeah, he was on the guy, Trey Trey.
Mm-hmm.
They called him Trey Trey. He was actually on that team, and he had passed like earlier that season. And like before we played them, they was telling that story. And they definitely told me, because he was number two, and I was number two coming into that game. So that was actually a crazy incident, too, that I knew about with Jason.
You had mentioned your senior year being your best season, and Man, the highlight reel that you and Taquan had going, and you had other players as well. I remember Tyler McGar, one of your offensive linemen, went to Cincinnati. And, you know, you guys had a lot of talent on that team, and I don't think anyone in the state wanted to play you at the time. That offense was pretty new to Harris County. I mean, y'all spread it out and had you two guys running everywhere. What was that like to play in that? Because it seemed like a lot of fun from the outside.
What was it like to play in what?
In that spread offense of you and Taquan just running around, getting the ball to each other.
Oh, I mean, it was amazing. You know, we were actually a wing T team, but we could always, you know, go to spread whenever we needed it or whenever we just wanted big plays. And I mean, it was just really fun because we both had that confidence, like going into senior year, like nobody gonna stop us. And that's kind of the mentality we just went with each game. And, you know, a special shout out to my coach Dwight Jones. He pushed us, he cared about us. And it was a different feeling with him that senior year, with him and the whole coaching stuff.
Man, Dwight's a legend in that part of the state. I feel like he's coached almost every team down there.
Yeah.
So you get to Athens and you redshirt. Was that hard for you, not playing on the field for a year?
It was really hard for me. I had to own up to what was going on in my life. I had surgery on my right shoulder, and I was still recovering from that. But like me, just being young, just wanting to go in, you know, get on the field. But I was behind some pretty good backs, and I was going through some adversity. So I just had to own up to that and, you know, just work hard as I could to get on the field as quickly as I could.
Man, you had to look around that running back room and try to – I mean, you're always wondering where's your spot, right? And you're looking at a ton of NFL guys in that running back room. Was that ever intimidating for you?
It wasn't really intimidating for me. I just kind of – but when I did get there, I was just kind of, you know, just surprised, just – always wanted to go to Georgia, you know, always watching these guys on the field and doing their thing on TV and just being in the room, getting coached up on the same thing they are. It was just like an amazing, amazing moment.
That was that dream come true, right?
Yeah, it was just legendary moment.
So that offseason after you redshirt, that's when the head coaching change happens. Was that difficult? Because, I mean, Mark Richt made that call to you. That was the guy that made that happen. How did you handle the coaching change?
I knew it would be new. I knew I would have to, you know, get used to the coaches, get used to the new plays and stuff like that. So that wasn't bad. I still wasn't ready once they got there. So that kind of went like that.
Well, and Kirby said that he had known you since eighth grade, so I'm assuming that made the transition easier, that it was a new head coach that you already knew, right?
Yeah. I was definitely excited about that. And like you said, sir, yeah, me and Kirby met at actually Alabama camp in my eighth grade year in middle school. And we had a pretty good relationship at that time. So
when he says, hey, Tay, we need to think about moving you away from running back, did that feel like high school again? How did you receive that news that, hey, you got to learn another position here?
Deep down, I knew Kirby believed, Coach Kirby believed that I was, you know, just had it deep down to play somewhere on the field. I mean, I think he didn't really know where I could fit. And I really didn't know myself, but I was working really hard, you know, going on scout team, going against the number one defense every day. But I was actually flashing and making plays. So each week I could tell he was saying that, and I could feel for myself that I was living better, playing better, you know, just doing better things on and off the field. So it kind of just carried on the field, and I feel like Coach Kirby noticed it.
Well, that takes a lot of courage from you, too, because by that point, Dale McGee's on staff. He's coaching running back. So you could have been there. That's a comfort zone, right? So having to move to the other side of the ball, you know, that takes some courage to do that. And I think coaches like to see that. And that's probably where you gained a lot of favor because you were coachable in that sense. The first time that I think most fans saw you make a play, it had to be that Rose Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about that. Yeah. We're late in the second quarter, and that kickoff is squibbed, and you're there right in front of it. What's your mindset, or is it just you reacting to make a play?
So just being on that team, that was a special team, man. Everybody around you was good, willing to work. I was always ready. I was working hard at that point. And I was just alert, man. And I just saw the ball up. Honestly, I just saw the ball off the tee. Then we practiced stuff like that. Like being in moments like that, we practiced it. And I just took it from practice and it went to the game. So it worked out for me.
And then when Rodrigo hits that long kick, how does that make you feel?
I was excited. I went to the locker room, you know, clapping, you know, encouraging them. Like, we the team. Like, we not losing today. Like, and that play was for y'all boys. Let's get it. Like, you know, just encourage them. Like, I knew deep down we was going to win that game.
And then when you guys do win that game and Sony Michel scores that touchdown, where were you in the celebration? What was your reaction? Because that place went crazy.
Man, I was locked in that whole game. It was one of the best games I can remember. I just knew they couldn't outplay us, man. I just knew it. And just making that play, I was just like, yeah, we're not losing today. So when San Sony ran that last touchdown, I mean, I sprinted to the middle of the field. I was excited.
I don't think a lot of people knew what they were doing. They just were reacting out of happiness, it seemed like.
Yeah. We was exactly. We jumped around, everything. A lot of stuff was going on.
Man, you guys definitely had national championship caliber. Obviously, you go to overtime in the national championship game. Just as a team, you know that's a special team. You get to the final game. You get to the end of regulation in the final game. How did you handle that national championship personally?
So I actually got in and played in that game for a snap. So, I felt, you know, we felt good about the whole game, the game plan. We played our butts off. And, you know, afterwards, I just wanted to, you know, get to work. I took everything I saw that year and everything I've been through and all the hard work I put in and just times did more for that next year. And, I mean, we had saw everything. We knew what work it took to get there. So I feel like that definitely helped the next team out and me myself just because I knew what it took to get there.
And you had a special bond with Roquan after that year, right?
Oh, yeah. We always had a special relationship since freshman year. Just competing on – we always competed on and off the field, too. And, that year just seeing him, that was his best year. So I was really excited for him. And that kind of made me push even harder just seeing him get his shine on, get the spotlight. And the way he was working, it just sparked me too. So
what's the most impressive play you ever saw him make? Because the way he pursued – in tackling a running back or receiver or whatever, it was special.
Yeah, the special play he had, I like two of his plays. It was one against South Carolina. I think tight end or receiver came across the middle, and he hit him, and he did the dog crawl. I love that play. And it's the one, the Oklahoma play. I think it was third now.
It was third and one, I believe.
Yeah, third and one, and the receiver was trying to get a jet sweep. And Rogue caught him before he got across the line. It was a great play, too. One of the best two plays I liked that he had.
Do you have a favorite game that you played in? I mean, you had that Rose Bowl. You had the Alabama games. You had the Notre Dame games. Do you have a favorite one for you?
it was just always it's just been a blessing this whole time being able to play on this stage and in those games. Like, if I could just pick out a game, I would. But, like, if I'm being honest, every game I played in, every game we won, I mean, they were all special to me.
You can say that, but I know one play that has to stick out to you. Because Eric Stokes hits Tennessee, the ball goes loose, and you grab it, and all of a sudden you're a running back again.
Yeah, you're right about that. That was a special moment, man. That was just a blessing. That was a great play, a great team play too. And I don't know, God was with me. The ball came out, and I, you know, did what I had to do. I did for like a running back. So you're right. I could say that was one of the best plays, and I got in the end zone. So.
Kirby Smart said you look like a turtle at the end of that play.
Yeah.
I didn't know what he meant by that. I don't know if you do.
Yeah, I knew he did. So, I mean, it was just coming off a few plays, and then the ball popped out. I got to run 60 yards. It was a lot. It was a lot. I'll just say that.
I mean, I'm not going to critique you for it because I don't want to run that 60 yards. I promise you that. You could do it better than I could. At any point, did you ever consider transferring from Georgia? Because those first couple of years, you're not playing as much football as you were used to playing.
Yeah, so I always told myself, I'm going to play at Georgia. It was just like a pride thing. Like, I'm from Georgia. No way I'm not going to play here at Georgia. You know what I'm saying? So I just told myself, whether it's my last year, whether I take my redshirt fifth year or my senior year, whichever one of those years I knew I was going to play. And that's just kind of how I attacked it. And I kept working as hard as I could, and I had got a good 3 years in where I was playing. So I prayed and just grinded for it, and it paid off for me.
Man, there's a lot of high school coaches out there that they're going to hear this, and they're going to say, how do I get my kids to be like that? Because that's a focus a lot of guys don't tend to have, especially if they've been a star for a long time. I'm going to get some quick questions, and we'll get you out of here. Who is your funniest teammate?
Funniest teammate? I have a lot of them. I would say Notori Johnson is one of the funniest guys. He can get me going. If I need a laugh, I can definitely count on him.
All right, so that means I need to get some Notori stories from somebody. I'll work on that. What's the hardest hit that you delivered?
It was a few. I got a few hard hits. It was one on kick return. I think it was Diggs, number 7 Diggs from Alabama. Mm-hmm. I came and cleaned him all the way to the sideline on the kick return.
Man, what does that feel like?
Man, I always been a hitter. I love, like, contact. I love being physical and stuff. So that just stuff like that gets me going. Like. Like, I'm that type who try to bring energy, you know, just like the squirrel kick. Luckily, he just messed around and mistakenly kicked it, and I was there to react to it. So I just feel like me making plays and stuff like that gives my team energy. So that's what type of player I am, trying to get everybody going, stuff like that.
Which of your teammates talk the most trash? Like, who is the biggest trash talker?
Man.
Oh, that means there are a lot of them, the way you said that.
Yeah. as a team, we on defense, we crazy on defense, man. We hit you and, you know, talk trash, stuff like that. I feel like everybody on defense scared up. But I could say Richard McCown was one of the most trash talking.
Who was that again?
I'll say Richard McCown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Richard seems like a talker. You're working on NFL prep. What are you trying to get your game ready for? Are you trying to get a little faster, a little stronger? Like, what are you doing specifically?
Specifically, I'm just working on all areas. I'm trying, like I said, just trying to get 1% better each day, whatever area I can. I'm working on it. Just whatever area in my position, I'm working on everything. So just trying to get better everywhere.
Let me let you be the analyst for Georgia for 2020, because you were around this team. You know the talent they have. What do you expect from Georgia in 2020? Because that defense is coming off. You guys were the number one defense in the country last year, and it just reloads again. So what do you expect from Georgia?
I'm so excited and ready to see what's next. I'm excited for the guys who's been there, who I played with on defense. Like you said, coming off as the number one defense, that's more motivation for them. And a lot of those guys actually played with the defense we had, so I'm really excited. But for them as a team, I'm excited. I just feel like offense and defense will be pretty special.
Who are some guys that we need to be ready to kind of break out? Who are the ones that you look at in practice and be like, yeah, I see that coming?
Yeah. Everybody on defense, I'm expecting a lot from. You know, I can't single a guy out because, I mean, it's a lot of guys that I'm excited to watch. And on offense, I'm definitely looking for my boy George Pickens.
Sugar Bowl was crazy.
Yeah, he just got a lot of talent. And he's a great kid on and off the field. And, you know, he's just something to look forward to.
You know, I find it interesting that you said that you really liked contact. You liked that hard hit, because one thing that Kirby said about you is that when he first met you, you did not like contact. So something changed in you, Tay.
So it was just like, it's not like I didn't like contact. It was just, I had to get used to banging all the time. Coming from a skill position, like receiver, running back, I never had to bang all the time. So I just had to get used to that. And I did, so.
Tay, your story's great, man, and I know fans love it because they see the perseverance you had, and you said you had a dream to play for Georgia, and you accomplished it, and it meant something to you. And I think for a lot of college football players, it seems a bit more transactional and not as much of a dream like that. So do you feel that love from the fans? Like, did you kind of have that experience where they would come up to you and compliment what you did?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people always do. A lot of people still do. And it's just like, it's a blessing. At the end of the day, it's just something, adversity. You know, you got to overcome adversity, man. Trust yourself and never lose yourself and always keep faith. So I just thank God each day just for leading me in that way, and for people not acknowledging the fact that what I did.
I know you're pursuing the pro football career, and whether that means in 5 years you're done with football or in 20 years you're done with football, you never know. What do you want to do when football is not a part of your life? What are you interested in?
That's still on my mind. I really don't know. I like to I like to get into different things. I'm not even sure what that is, but I'm just a different type of guy. Like, I just want to do stuff that I don't really know about. Just, I don't know, stuff like that. Just learn more about life itself and different things to do.
I think that's a good answer. Keep on learning, right?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Well, Tay, I appreciate you making time to chat with us on the podcast. Is there anything you want to say to Georgia fans, or, you know, just anything about your experience going through UGA that you want fans to know about?
Like I said, it's been a blessing. I've been a hell of a ride. I'm always a dog. And can't wait for this season. God bless and go Dogs.
Big thanks to Tay Crowder for joining us here on the Dog Days podcast. What a story of perseverance, and someone that just loves UGA and dreamed of playing football for the Georgia Bulldogs. Until next time, I'm Dane Young.